Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello and welcome to Please Won't You Shut Up, a Star Trek Picard podcast. I'm your girlfriend who lives in Canada, Mickey Alexa.
I've brought jazz hands this week, but you cannot see them, and I'm Blake.
And I'm Brenterly Robertson.
That's you.
Brenterly Robertson, I like it. This is a spoiler-free podcast for any episodes after the episode we are discussing, so despite having seen a few episodes ahead, we won't be jumping forward on the timeline and ruining the fun. Today we are talking about episode one of Picard, Remembrance. Mm-hmm.
I rewatched this today because I really wanted to have. I clearly from the last episode, I have a real hard time not getting ahead of us. So okay, where does this one end again? I just watched this. Good God!
So this one ends.
If you donate on Patreon, you know why I'm so spacey right now. But
this ends with Dodge exploding.
Does it? I thought it ended a little after that.
Well, yeah.
Like, no, because Picard wakes up at home. What else happens? Yeah, where exactly does it end? I know exactly where it ends.
Okay,
perfect. Nope. We should get there right away because it's exciting.
That's good.
We can spoil everything for episode one, and I don't want to get ahead of this point. It's the reveal that it's the Borg. That it's the Borg cube.
Yes, the Borg cube.
Yes,
yeah, with the
Romulans. That's where other Dodge is. And there's also two Dodges, and there's so much to...
There's a lot to unpack here. There's a lot to unpack, but it's really curious the way that they've handled the Borg revelation so far in this show. And, like, episode one, they not only give you, like, oh, there's a Borg cube, and it's in Romulan space. That's in the opening titles. That Borg cube is right there. They're not... They weren't hiding that at all.
No, that was in trailers as well.
So it's like so important for the situation and everything.
But also, Locutus is like.
I bet that's a.
There's a nugget there that just links so many things together nicely.
I'm skipping over the beginning. I started that too. I started us off on a path of skipping over the beginning when that was one of my favorite things about the episode. I was in love with it from the first few seconds. Blue skies.
Oh, a gorgeous rendition. So, yeah, the episode begins with a gorgeous rendition of Blue Skies as the Enterprise D, lovingly rendered in full glorious CGI, flies through a nebula. And we go in, and there's Picard and Data playing cards.
In 10 forward.
In 10 forward, yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, they're wearing later uniforms.
Is Picard in uniform?
Data is in DS9.
Yeah, Data color. Is in DS9, just the blank color, isn't it? Not the gray.
Yeah, the Voyager DS9 when they overlap.
Yeah, okay, yeah. And you're right, Picard is just, I believe, dressed normally.
Yeah.
And there's a truly heartbreaking moment immediately where the Data is about to win, and Picard knows that this is not real, and he just doesn't want to finish the game because he doesn't want to leave his lost friend. And it's like, oh my god.
And then something terrible happens.
Yeah, you've immediately broken my heart, Star Trek.
Yeah, and then Mars blows up.
And then Mars blows up.
Like, Mars fucking blows a lot up. Like,
Mars is not there anymore. No. I mean, it's there, yeah, but it's like a tiny little
sun. So because of a intrepid reporter who proves that the media landscape has gotten no better by the 24th century, no better at all.
No better.
Do you think it would?
No, not at all.
I mean...
Have you heard our other podcasts? No. No, I don't think it would.
You mean the one we don't even do anymore because we became so fucking depressed?
Yes, we could go on, but this is a more fun podcast, yeah. So let's not digress on that one.
Anyway.
It was nice to see the media, accurately portrayed.
Yeah,
that was nice. It was kind of nice to see that they haven't changed. But, I took us on a tangent. Where were we going with that?
Because
it was something they referenced in that.
So they reference...
Oh, Mars, it's still on fire.
Exactly.
It's that bad. Yeah. Blew the atmosphere up.
So it's a preloaded exposition dump.
Yes.
Where it let us know that Mars was attacked. That was what was going on. That occurred 14 years before.
Mars attacked!
Ah! Picard did, of course, try to do something about it, but things happened. And it was what they called the synthetics. I'm curious why they don't call them androids, but synthetics is the new.
Well, they also called them plastic people, so I wonder if like the new models were their plastic based, apparently, as opposed to like metal data types. If that doesn't, you know, androids to me in my head feel metallic, like
which is fair, and I completely understand what you mean, and yeah, maybe. Well, obviously they're not direct. Datas or Lores or B4s. No. I can't remember. It at some point gets explained that they couldn't replicate Noonien Singh's work.
Yeah.
It's still beyond.
Well, that's always been.
Yeah.
That's always kind of been the case, is no one could ever.
Like, it's a shadow of.
Exactly. It's like a really thin shadow of it. So, yeah, they're probably way cheaper, but. What a fascinating way to start it. I never would have expected it would have been the androids or synths.
Oh, and the reaction is like, anyone who's like, oh my god, the Federation totally overreacted to that, apparently didn't live through the last 20 years.
Yeah,
because like, it makes complete horrifying sense. They just ban all synthetics outright, completely. Except holograms.
And I like...
You know why? Because ain't no one giving up their holodeck.
That's very true. No one wants to give up their holoporn.
Thank you very much.
I do like there's...
Ferengis are...
Making bajillions off it?
No. We also... I think in this episode, you see a Ferengis...
Episode one.
Yeah.
Through... When they're flying through...
Oh, in Boston.
There's a Ferengi Alliance
building.
Oh, there's like the Ferengi Alliance Bank or something. Yeah. Like, in Boston, yeah.
Like, Ferengis have landed.
Boston looks... Great.
It looks amazing.
Do we see Paris in this episode? We do.
I believe we see Paris. We don't see San Francisco in this one.
Hideous.
Paris looks god-awful. And
I don't know what makes them think Paris would look like that. Actually, if I can do a tiny digression.
Paris kind of looks like that.
Well, yeah, La Défense and all that god-awfulness. Yeah. They've let the skyscrapers into the... Yeah. Which is funny, being from here and like hating all the sightlines bullshit. But... I loved this thing that I saw about the movie Minority Report and its aesthetic.
I love that movie's aesthetic.
It's beautiful.
It's gorgeous.
So gorgeous. I love it. And they designed it. They designed Washington, D.C. to still be very low scale.
Yeah.
Right out until the outskirts, like La Défense in Paris. And then it's all skyscrapers outside of that because there's no restrictions.
Yeah.
And I kind of felt like they just like made the interior of Paris like suddenly like plotted up with like skyscrapers and hideous elevated rails and things. It was fucked.
Yeah,
I don't even remember if there were elevated rails, but they were definitely like, it was cluttered. It looked ugh. It was gross.
And
it was like someone crossed Paris with a futuristic industrial park. What French person pissed off somebody working on Picard?
It's true. For as much as they respect the French countryside, maybe that's a meaning, a symbol, because the French countryside that Chateau Picard is in,
yeah,
gorgeous.
Love the giant arcology buildings.
I love just that's in the background. You just see a shape that's like that's an enormous goddamn building.
Yeah, like that's an absolute like mega structure.
Mega, but so juxtaposed cool. to this classic chateau.
Yeah.
Gorgeous, a gorgeously designed.
Boston, you
show.
Couldn't tell what like it looked like any futuristic city. But it was neat looking. It looked cool.
Oddly enough, thanks to playing Fallout 4 so much, I immediately recognized it as Boston.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's great.
Just like, holy
I guess
shit.
I just don't know enough about Boston.
That's wicked pissa. All
right.
I really
Paris was recognizable despite being hideousified.
Going to Boston would be fun.
Future it's Boston? Like, let's do it.
No, like, now Boston.
I mean, technically, if you go
it's like
in,
Gotham it's City. It's Gotham City brick.
Oh, okay.
Is it like St. John?
It is...
It's very
founded at a very close time as St. John.
Yeah,
and same with Chicago, and like there's a bunch of cities that all have like this old brick aesthetic that is right after the 80s, all the highways came in.
Oh yeah.
Find the architect on the podcast.
Sorry.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Right. We're here to talk about Star Trek, but specifically, we're going to talk about the lovely features. At Starfleet Academy.
Yeah, I started the future civic infrastructure. Yeah,
no, but
that's
Starfleet is the Comic-Con center, which is the smartest,
what?
Greatest.
It's
hilarious.
San Diego Convention Center,
yes.
Is it? Yeah. Because
genius.
It's so fucking futuristic looking.
And it's such...
Yeah.
Oh my god, but also it's the ultimate fan service.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, you want to go to Starfleet headquarters? Just
go to Starfleet.
Fucking Comic-Con.
Yeah, come to Comic-Con. Hey, give us your money.
That
and you can come meet
so
Uhura.
Smart.
Why not?
That is so smart.
Yeah. Seriously.
I can't wait until we get to episode, I guess, 4, which we'll be talking about episode 3, because
yes.
I do have some yelling about pacing to do,
yeah.
Which was evident already in this episode.
They were definitely
I'm forgiving them. I am forgiving them a bit now.
Yeah.
With just where we're at, but
it's a
yeah.
lot of there's a lot of information.
Yeah.
To they, go through.
It is.
There
and
is,
then,
but also there's not, as far as plot movement forward, like, it's Star Trek. Get off the damn planet. Like,
yeah. And the way that this episode ends is, like, okay, it's a good setup, but it's also like, maybe do that in episode 2.
No,
instead
I
of making it feel, like,
that.
So
that was what made
end.
Me, I was so annoyed about Picard not having, like, any even real communication off-world.
Oh,
that, like,
I don't mean that. Oh.
No, that by the time they at least got us to the cube, I was
yeah.
like, cool, I'm down with this.
Oh, I didn't mean the
Fine.
Cube. Have the cube earlier. We'll get to it in a second. So the story, and then we can yell about what goes on.
Mm-hmm.
So Picard is, as you say, interviewed by a news reporter who was told not to ask about why Picard left Starfleet.
Mm-hmm.
And of course,
she immediately asks why Picard left Starfleet.
Yeah, which pisses
doesn't
him
understand
off.
History and gets a yelling, which is great.
Yeah, but of course he reveals that. During the evacuation of the Romulan Star Empire, the Federation, after the attack by the Synths, decided, you know what? Fuck the Romulans. We have our own problems. These people have always been our enemies. The Romulans are the enemy that created the Federation.
Which we find out why next episode, I believe. Is that correct?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, and that goes back to the 60s, when they were first plotting out the history of the Federation. The Romulan War always leads to the birth of the Federation. People always think the Klingons when they think about the direct enemy. No, it's the Romulans. And so it's really an emotional and ethical standpoint of and divergence in policy for Picard to be like, listen, they're our greatest allies, and that's why we have to help them.
Greatest enemies.
Greatest enemies, and that's why we have to help them. And
if we don't do this, we don't do it.
Exactly. Then we're not Starfleet. We're not the
Federation.
We're
not living up to our ideals.
And Starfleet, of course, looks at it and goes, or we can not have to devote all of this manpower to fighting off the Romulans or defending the neutral zone anymore. Fuck them. And Starfleet and the Federation chose
fuck
them.
Which is a pretty ghastly decision when you think about it.
It sure
is.
Millions upon millions died.
Billions
for sure.
Yeah.
Now, as we discussed in the last episode, they did have more time, thanks to retconning, to evacuate Romulus and Remus. And, but still, well, probably not the Remus.
All hands on deck. If like a ship's going down and you're in the same ocean, I'm not like ocean as in like
the galaxy.
Yeah, the galaxy. I'd just be like,
give him a hand.
Little note on galaxy phrasing too.
No.
So, early Star Trek, the talk of where they are in space can get pretty stupid.
Very stupid.
Like, you know, we're exploring across the universe. Like, no, you're not. Oh, my God. You're
a lying sack of shit.
And then by, like, Deep Space Nine. But only Spock
could see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then by, like, Deep Space Nine and Voyager, it's pretty specific that, like, you know, they're exploring their area of the quadrant of the galaxy.
Yeah.
They're...
Here's the very set borders, and because you are nerds, it has been perfectly
mapped out
to the system.
Oh, yeah. I love it. But, like... You know that. It's great. And I could handle that, like, scale.
Mm.
Little repeated references to galactic trees and galactic communications. And, like, it all seems very galaxy scale now.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, 20 years earlier, they established communication across the galaxy, like, between quadrants.
Yeah.
It makes complete fucking sense that we should be scaling up our thinking at this point. That they're,
absolutely.
Like, going from, like, thinking globally to, like, oh, maybe we need to think about the solar system because we're, you know, kind of fucking up this planet. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. It makes me so happy. It's just such a tiny little touch, but it just seems so realistic to me.
Right? And, like,
it shows the passing of time.
Scale.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's common parlance for people. Like, it's just little lines dropped by, like, you know, not, like, any of the Admiral's bullshit. It's, like,
regular just random kind of people. Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, oh, like, fantastic. Dr. Giovanni.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. I love her.
Seriously. She's fantastic. I think she's in the next episode.
Allison Pill?
Yeah. I think she's in the next one. Yes, because Dodge has to die first, and then...
Oh, did I get hit again?
Don't worry about it.
Well, it's a character.
Don't worry about it. Yeah,
Allison Pill reminds me of early Beverly Crusher.
She really does.
And, like, I mean, in, like, the... I'm just going to walk on screen and be a very calm, relaxing... Like, Beverly was always...
Like, she's the heart character.
Yeah, like, she always kind of held you, and I was just like,
Beverly
good.
Was the sensitive mom. Allison Pill is like, well, we'll get to her in the next episode.
But she is. No,
yeah.
it's true.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they piss Picard off, and he does that little exposition dump. Yeah. And at the same time that this is occurring, we go over to Boston, where we meet this character called Dodge and her boyfriend. And her boyfriend immediately
gets shot
in the face.
Oh, which is a nice touch,
because
he's...
Yes.
He's the same species as Tilly's friend, the Queen.
Yeah.
From that.
So we get to see, like, I think 200 years on, not only the webisode, but, like, near the end of the second season, she's the one who helps them reverse engineer the time suit, I believe. She's the queen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that species went on to
become...
Did
she go with them?
I want to say yes.
I do not remember. This is not the time to go into how convoluted I find Discovery sometimes, but it can be hard to remember.
It sometimes gets a little out there.
Yeah.
I love it, but it's a weird child.
But back
it's
to a show that I find much easier and kind of more exciting to follow.
Yeah. They became, that species became so involved, or probably part of the Federation outright, that now, of course, one's living on Earth in Boston.
If you're living on Earth in Boston and you're, like, super comfortable with Earth replicator menus enough to insult them,
yeah,
then you're probably a member of the Federation.
Yeah, you're probably a member of the Federation if you're upset about the lack of
milkshake. The replicators look fucking
cool.
Perfect.
They're great.
If you're going to give me a little nifty CGI upgrade to anything, make it so. That
yes.
is fucking tits. It's perfect.
Also, someone online noted that way back in a DS9 episode that takes place in the future. The old crew of DS9, like, as old fogies.
I know exactly which one you're talking about.
Yeah, they
like,
they
Dax is old. Dax is adorable.
She is.
Yeah.
They capture the Defiant, or, like, take out mothballs, and Bashir notes when he's using his control pad, like,
two-dimensional controls.
Yeah.
How did we ever
how
live
did we
with
ever
this?
Live with this? Yeah. And it's like, and
how did I never seen this episode?
Do you know Dax? I think I remember how to do that. Oh, she's great.
It's because there's like 500 episodes of DS9.
I have a blind spot in...
I know, you've seen them all 820 times.
Yeah. You'll definitely have to catch that one. But I like how they went, right. So now, every interface has a holographic interface laid that. Over it.
Did Amazing. We get that in episode one?
I believe so, yeah. We got touches of it okay. here, there, and everywhere. And, like, the TVs all were,
yeah,
like,
the TV screens are beautiful.
That replicator had the interface. That's why we're talking about it.
But it also has Battlestar Galactica aesthetic in, like, the menus. Like, it's a very tactile.
Yeah.
Like, almost... Yeah. Steampunkish.
Everything is beautiful.
Like, it's very well done.
Yeah.
And if that's what we're getting in 20 years,
but
I'm
it's
okay
not such
oh,
a
yeah.
departure from.
It's all very 80s, future esque, but then again, flown through, you know, put through the reality of what we think now
we can.
It
feels
achieve.
Like they took 50% natural progression from what we saw in, like, TNG, Voyager, DS9, and all that.
Yeah.
And then 50%, no, let's actually upgrade it and make it beautiful and cool and more realistic. I love that. That was the thing I loved most about Discovery, is that, like, people swore there was interesting music. Like, you know, it was just more relatably human, as opposed to, like, we're a bunch of Shakespearean actors and humans are perfect now. It's like, oh, God.
Like, if the moment calls for you to turn around and saying, like, fuck you.
Yeah.
You're going to turn
small
around
example,
and say...
But,
Or, like, if Anthony Rapp has to say... No, you're right. This is fucking awesome.
Oh, I love Anthony Rapp.
Say it. Say it proud. Suddenly, while he's making fun of her, who we learn is named Dodge later, he gets shot in the face by...
Is he shot in the face?
Back of the head comes out of the face, I believe.
There's
something like that.
There's some later gore, but I don't remember that one being.
Well, he dies like off. You don't see that. It's kind of like you hear, the three figures in black suddenly beam in and kill him while you're look. Well, the shot is looking at Dodge.
Yeah,
and acknowledging her surprise, and they black bag her, and say, "Has she activated? Has she activated?" And she hasn't.
No, they don't. No, they don't.
No.
They say something in an alien language first.
Oh, you're right. Yes.
They believe they say exactly what you just said, but they say it in an alien language, which we later learn to be Romulan.
Yeah.
And then one of them snaps at him, speak English. And I was just like, I fucking love that. Like,
that was so
even
good.
Though there's universal translators, and even though, like, that's always been a little fuzzy, but it works kind of thing, it's just like, it's still acknowledged that, no, this is Boston. These aliens, this alien and this human are speaking English, like, and we need to, for our cover.
We need to, and you and you
not,
immediately ruined it, you fuck.
Yeah, no annoying, like, speak human, like, speak standard Federationese, like, fuck, speak English,
speak
Boston.
English. Yeah. Jesus.
Well, like, oh, Picard speaking French was weird.
Oh, that was lovely, though. I love that we finally got to hear
this
Frenchman actually speak French.
Yeah.
Jesus.
It was cute that he was practicing commands with... Number one.
Mm-hmm.
That's an offensively named dog.
Yeah, poor Riker.
Yeah.
You name what? You think I look like this dog?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're both very... varmints. Yeah.
Varmint. This is
true. Both of them sit weird on chairs.
Yeah.
Or can't stand up properly.
Yeah, also true. Anyway, she suddenly activates and super kills them all.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
It was an amazing, wonderful scene of her going all Summer Glau on them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and then she watches the interview.
Yeah.
And sees Pickard. Mr. Pickard.
Yeah, she sees Pickard, and then she sees Pickard in her mind. And then we flash over to, I think, Laris and Zaban? I can't remember.
Zaban is what you said last time.
Yeah.
I'm so in love. Is it Loris? Laris?
Laris, I think.
She's so fucking great.
She's awesome. The pair of them are fantastic.
The pair of them are amazing. I want nothing more than to live on a vineyard with, like, you and these people.
Yeah.
Like, they're that fun. I'm going to look them up right now.
So, yeah, it turns out that because, of course, they worked as their cover, as we covered in the last episode, their cover as Tal Shiar agents was... to work on a Romulan ale winery or whatever the hell you make Romulan ale out of, because don't think about it.
Laris.
Romulan berry.
Romulan berry. It's like a all I can think of now is gummy berries, and they're just like drinking a bunch of Romulans, singing about Romulan berry juice,
bouncing around on their
butts. That's great.
So of course they came.
Remus Rhymes.
Oh my god. Hey, anyway, wonderful.
This is the neutral zone, get over there.
That's a pointed comment.
We are the Romulan Bear. Okay, I'm good.
Oh, that was too good. Okay.
Yeah, it's Laris and Zaban.
Laris and Zaban. So yeah, they've been living with Picard in his mopey chateau where they make Chateau de Picard wine, and mostly just like look after this old Professor X as he goes senile, Wolverine style.
Which he's is the what do they call him? The Hermit of the Hermit of Labar.
The Hermit of Labar.
Yeah.
You were going to
In the last scene of the movie that they had the glass of wine after Data was like exploded, was a bottle of the Chateau Picard.
Yes,
and you can just see it in the background. Like it doesn't go full like lens zoom.
Like that movie had so many things going for it, like that wonderful little detail, and so many horrible things, like everything else.
But like, I like that it went from one of the last scenes is Chateau Picard to him going like, probably I'm just like, I'm probably going back soon.
Yeah, probably.
What happens here next? She shows up.
Sorry.
So I can't remember.
No, I'm just making poor Mickey's been keeping us on track with the plot lines all the time.
I keep trying.
I apologize. At the start of this episode, I just like threw out a bunch of plot landmines at them. I was just like, here we go. Let's just bah. But thank you for keeping us on a course.
To be fair, I have no problem with that. Like, if you're listening to this show, you probably have watched the episode, and that's the idea. It's like we're
that's
essentially
true.
Just going over it, so we remember and we address stuff.
I feel slightly less guilty.
There you go. Not completing episodes is what you should be guilty of.
Well, hey, that's a whole other podcast, and there will be two new episodes available for download next week.
Yeah, no, I do actually look forward to that. Anyway, I can't remember if what happens next is Picard has his dream sequence or if Dodge appears. I can't recall.
What's he dream of next?
So he dreams of Data painting and
No, he meets Dodge then.
Okay.
Yeah, he meets Dodge and she's all like, do I know you? Do you know me? And he's like, no. And she's like, look the fuck in my face. And
it's kind of funny.
And he's
that,
like, I don't know.
She leaves her necklace. Leaves her necklace on at his little like grotto.
Yeah, he takes her inside. Yeah. They chat. And he looks at her necklace and he's like, "That's really."
I do kind of find it suspicious that he doesn't go like, "Yes, I was just on this television show that was beamed to like billions of people." Of course you recognize. I'm sorry, are you trying to defraud me?
I know, yeah, she's like, I saw you on the, basically like, I saw you on the television.
Yeah.
And he's just like, uh-huh, you know me from there? And she's like, no, I fucking know you. But that's how you know that he does actually recognize her, because she's like, no, look at me. And he's like, well, he really can't be sure that he doesn't know her just from one look at her.
Yeah, something pings inside his Picard brain.
He's seen the TNG edits, he knows how much Data painted.
And it probably got a little Borg when he got assimilated.
Yeah, he's got, what he really has are interfaces that are probably telling him in his subconscious, beep, boop, boop.
That's
like, I think you're assimilated, you already have a mechanical heart. It becomes a little bit more mechanical, and like, they're just like, let's just leave the tech in there, it works. Probably works better.
Maybe put some oil paint on your face and see if you look more familiar. Then.
Especially with his heart, remember... He has an artificial heart.
Yeah, you reckon
that's
so.
Like,
he's got a Borg heart.
Yeah, well, so like when he gets assimilated, that probably just got more tech, and he's got like a little warp field in there. Just like,
warp heart. It just randomly warps out of his body.
That's how
one
you know it's really
dead.
Good. That's how you know it's a really high quality tech heart, though, is because if it was a shitty one, the Borg would be like, no, we'll take like a human that has an actual fucking heart, thanks. But him, they were like,
that
works real well.
Isn't that cool?
We might actually, we might get Borg to keep those in their pockets.
Hey, Bob, come check out this
heart.
Pfizer's hearts? We like this.
Bob of two, get over here.
Bob of two, check this out. Yeah, that's really fucking cool.
Bob of two.
Bob of two. That is great. Stacy of 13, come check this shit out.
I don't want to be anywhere with 13 Stacys. Tom of one. Tom of one.
No, that's if they assimilate Tom Paris and no one wanted to hang out with him.
That's exactly Tom of one. No one would assimilate Tom Paris, so he has to be zone collected. In the event the Borg ever win and take over the Alpha Quadrant, and apparently now the galaxy scaled up, then they'll just be like, they'll get up to Tom Paris and they'll be like, bzz, bzz, bzz. And they'll just walk away, and he'll be like, what? And they'll be like, no.
I picture...
Surplus to requirements. Like, just,
no. I picture him on a Borg queue, not wearing any pants, like, just wandering around with a house coat, and it's like, yeah, they don't fucking care about me.
Yeah, one sock, like coffee cup full of whiskey. Harry Kim has been assimilated, and he's
just dragging him around.
And he's so offended by that. He's so offended. Harry Kim still trails around after him, and it's like, bzz, 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 bzz.
Technically, Scotty could come back.
That would be offensive as hell.
No, but like, he came back through being in a teleporter field.
No, you're absolutely right.
Where did he go after that?
I believe he just went to, like, the Daystrom Institute or some shit. So maybe they have his brain.
Oh, we should go.
They saved Scotty's brain!
No, but, like, that would be kind of cool just to be like, where's Scotty? Oh, he's now in Pike's Dalek machine.
Pike's Dalek machine. Like,
I'm trying to think. Okay. I just remembered what happened. Okay, because I was annoyed that... So, Picard wakes up in the morning and Daj has, like, run off somewhere.
Yes.
And I was like, what the fuck was the point of all this?
Seriously.
But he's had that dream.
Yeah.
He saw Data painting.
Wonderful dream. Data painting in the winery. And Data hands him the brush and says, would you like to complete it, Captain? And at first, I thought this was all kinds of, like, Twin Peaks-y meaning within meaning. No, it's really it's a literal direct memory.
Yeah, it's like just Data prodding at his memory going, come on, old man.
Yeah. Perhaps you need a little, poke.
Here's a painting without a face. You're trying to remember where you've seen that girl's face before. Can you do it, Johnny? Yes, he can. Yeah. So he goes to a very bizarre storage facility.
Oh, fantastically bizarre storage facility, which it seems to be a Federation or Starfleet museum/archive, but he has his own personal room, which is set out like a study with all his awesome little souvenirs.
But this is what I love. It's all like fucking molecularly stored, I think. So it's all just like broken down, stored in like essentially like a static transporter buffer is the way I kind of think of it kind of thing.
Yeah.
It just materializes as needed. So the building's probably the size of like your average suburban bungalow.
Yeah.
But like, they can just create, it's probably like a TARDIS. They can just create anything in there.
Kind of thing. You walk in there and it just uploads your save.
That's fucking great. The assistant?
Oh my god. Actually,
amazing.
Specifically, that assistant, I think there's a really smart line in there where the assistant...
The hologram assistant. Yeah, make it clear for anyone who forgot.
Exactly. So AI is a thing in Star Trek to various extents. The ship computers are all extensive AIs. The holograms are all extensive AIs, and then we have the synthetics, which are the physical AIs.
Which apparently is somehow different.
Yeah, so I think there's a really cool moment in this where the hologram AI tells a joke.
Yes.
And it doesn't go down well. Picard's just like, don't do
that. Picard asks if that, was that a joke?
That joke. And the hologram responds with, we're trying something new.
Yeah.
I think that the holograms are trying to be humanize themselves.
Oh, that's adorable. Like, that was self-directed.
Yeah, yeah.
That's adorable.
As a way of being like, Jesus Christ, they hate AIs.
Mm-hmm.
What if they eventually turn on us? We'll try to be friendly.
Oh, man, more on that later.
Yeah.
More on that later.
It's so good.
Oh, my God.
So good.
Yeah. But
also, I really like... I like how they handled that. Of like, what kind of an egotistical motherfucker would you be to have your EMHs and all that based on you?
Oh, you did it this time.
I know, but it's so good.
I know, it is.
We'll
great.
Get to that.
I would do that. I'm off. I would. Yeah.
So
we need to get to the Superman jump because it's the only thing that
we do, and that was fantastic. So he tracks.
No, that was the only part that I was just like.
Oh, no, I thought that was a great way of, like, datafying everything.
Could Data do that?
Yeah, Data could do that. It's just they didn't have the budget to show it. But remember, Data...
Data jumped down a lot.
Data jumped down a lot, and he could throw his weight. So theoretically, he should be able to jump it.
But he didn't have the agility
things
because he walked into the water and just sunk like a brick.
Yeah. For reasons we can't talk about yet.
But he's not biomechanical.
That's what I mean.
I'm very annoyed. Alright. But it's fine. But we're not there yet anyway.
Actually, we more or less are because
he
tracks her down at the
she's like, hi. She just shows up.
Oh, yeah, right.
But he's like, how the fuck? He makes a big deal about it.
Yeah.
He's apparently like Carmen Sandiego. Ain't nobody can find his ass. And she's just like, hey, what's up?
Where in the world are you?
Yeah. It's just like, well, you were just on Galactic Television.
Oh, no. She calls her mom.
Right. She calls her mom
and she's
her
like...
Her mom's weird.
Yeah, I don't trust her.
I think her mom is just a hologram front.
Yeah.
That's probably actually it's we'll get into it in another episode.
Mm.
I think I know who that is. We'll get to that. Oh, I know.
You don't know who it is, do you? Oh, sorry.
She calls her mom because she's still acting like no. I'm this kid who lives in Boston. My boyfriend just died.
Well, this is before she has that conversation with Pickard.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she's just, like, has no idea what's going on. She just doesn't... She ran away because she didn't want to endanger Picard, which is nice and all, but I'm just like, why'd you show up in...
What was the purpose of this?
The pacing of this show is already not necessarily my favorite element of it, and now we're just going to bounce back and forth.
And this episode races a lot, because it does have a lot to set up.
Yeah.
But, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe the next thing is the black-suited Romulans show back up.
Yes, where are they?
They're
at Starfleet.
Right, they're close to.
They're
outside Starfleet. No, they're outside the archive that he just visited.